Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning. Thankful. Oh, grateful God woke me up. Thankful God gave me a do-over. And blessed to be a child of God, that he gave me another opportunity to be better today than I was on yesterday. I thank God for each and every one of you. Let us pray and get ready to get into this magnificent word today. Father God in heaven, we come to you, believing and knowing that all things work for our good, oh God. We ask you, Lord God, to increase as we decrease. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy sight. For you, Father God, are my strength and my redeemer. And Lord, I thank you for another day. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your son. And it's in his name that I lift up this word, praying that someone's heart will be touched, someone's mind will be opened, and someone will be saved. For you, O Lord God, Christ Jesus, are everything. And I love you, Jesus. And I thank you for being truth and life. I thank you for being the salt of the earth. I thank you for giving your life for me, a sinner, saved by your death. I thank you, Lord, again for this day that you have made. I rejoice and am glad in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, God, this morning for each and every one of you, asking God to bless you, to cover you, to give you peace, to give you joy, to give you all the things that you need. Just thanking God today. We are blessed. We are blessed. We can't just see it. We got to obey it. And the word for God for today is just blessings come from hearing and obeying God's word. Your blessings come from hearing and obeying God's word. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Honor your father and your mother. What does the word say? Thou shalt have no other God for me. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor worship them. Are you loving God today? Are you hearing his word today? Are you following his word today? Are you loving your neighbor today? What are you doing with just the word of God? Are you just hearing it and going, yody, 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 it's all good? Or are you believing it and working the work that God has called you to do? We each have a job. Are you doing yours for the Lord? No matter how you feel, no matter what you're going through, are you doing what you're supposed to do for God? Because God is doing what he's doing for you. Don't complain about not having the blessings that you don't have. Don't complain, I don't have this and I don't have that. Are you obeying God's word? I will tell anybody, life is not easy, but we got to trust God. Every day, I tell God I'm thankful. I'm grateful and I'm blessed. Because I know I'm blessed. I know that I'm thankful and I'm grateful for the blessing that God has given me, the overflow, whatever it may be, I am thankful. And I'm grateful. Because somebody did not wake up this morning. Somebody did not get this new day. Somebody didn't get a do-over. But you did. Keep trusting God and obeying His word. Don't worry about what Boo Boo and them down the street are doing. Put on your judgment suit. Just do what you're supposed to do. Because whatever you're doing, you don't do it for yourself. You do it for God. So let's get started. This morning, we are coming out of Joshua. Y'all know, I'm all still giddy. Y'all know we in my favorite book. We are in my favorite book. You know, Joshua is getting older. Caleb is 85. And Caleb's like, hey, can I have my stuff now? You know, I done thought, I done did everything. I still got vision. I still am all that, even at my 85 years old. And so he's asking for his stuff. And Joshua's going to give him what he's supposed to have. And God will give us what we're supposed to have. Our blessings come from God. So let's get into it again. For those that are just joining us, we are in Joshua chapter 13 through chapter 14, verse 15. Life lessons will come after the lesson this morning. Our psalm is the 44th psalm, and we'll be continuing in verse 20 to 26. Our proverb this morning is Proverbs 14 and 3. And our word for today is coming out of Luke chapter 11. And, you know, understand this is Passion Week, and so a lot of what we're speaking on is the death of Christ, word that we are going through. So just keep that in mind. So let's get started. I am coming out of the NIV version this morning for our Old Testament word, and I'll be back, and I'll also be in NIV for our New Testament word. I'll be in New King James for Psalm, and I'll be in New King James for Proverbs. But for our scripture reading this morning, I will be coming out of NIV in Luke chapter 11 as well. So get your Bibles, everybody. Get your Bibles. Get your Bible. What evangelist is teaching the children's ministry, the little bitty kids, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I learned to stand upon the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, but I believe they are standing in the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. It's so cute to see my grandson trying to remember his song. He calls it his song. The B-I-B-L-E. And sometimes he'll call it the B-O-B-L-E, but he'll get it through. He'll get there. He's only four. So B-I-B-L-E, let's get the book for me, the book for you. Let us stand on the word of God this morning. And it says this, so shout out to evangelist Teresa, because we all know it is a job to work with. I think she has two up to five-year-olds. So, yes, it is a job. So, shout out to children's ministry and those that work in it. And it says this remaining land yet unconquered. When Joshua had grown old, the Lord said to him, you are now very old, and there are still very large areas of land to be taken over. This is the land that remains all the regions of the Philistines. and the Geshurites from the Shihor River and the east of Egypt to the territory of Ekron. On the north, all of its county of Canaanite, held by the five Philistine rulers, in Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron, the territory of the Avites. On the south, all the land of the Canaanites from Era of the Sidonians, as far as Apt and the border of the Amorites, and the area of Byblos, and all Lebanon, to the east from Baal-Gad below Mount Hermon, to Lebo Hamath. As for all the inhabitants of the mountain regions, from Lebanon to Misrephoth, Nim, and to all the Sidonians, I myself will drive them out before the Israelites. Be sure to allocate this land to Israel for an inheritance as I have instructed you, and divide it as an inheritance among the nine tribes and half of the tribe of Manasseh. Divisions of the land east of the Jordan. The other half of Manasseh, the Reubenites and the Gadites, have received the inheritance that Moses had given them east of the Jordan, as he is the servant of the Lord, and has assigned it to them. It extended from Ira, on the rim of the Arnon Gorge, and from the town in the middle of the gorge, and included the whole plateau of Medeba, as far as Dabon, and all the towns of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who ruled in Heshbon, out of the border of the Ammonites. It also included Gilead, and Galilee, the territory of the people of Gershon, as Machai and Mount Hermon, and all of Bashan and as far as Galateka. And it is the whole kingdom of Og and Bashan, who had reigned in Ashdod and Edrei. He was the last of the Raphaites. Moses has defeated them and taken over their land. But the Israelites did not drive out the people of Gershon and Machir, so they continue to live among the Israelites to this day. And if you look at a map of the Mediterranean Sea, you see Mount Hermon, Hazar, the Sea of Galilee, Aram, Israel, Bethel, Gibeon, Jericho, Jordan, Mount Ararat. You know, all of these things go up the Mediterranean Sea, and it's all an area I don't believe as big as probably the Midwest combined. I mean, it is not that huge. You know, we are talking about a little bit of land, and you know, it's going on. And it's still the thing that was going on then is the thing that's going on now. Israel's still trying to get their land. But anyway, as we continue to, but to the tribe of Levi, he gave no inheritance. Just the food offerings presented to the Lord, the God of Israel, are their inheritance, as he promised them. This is what Moses has given to the tribe of Reuben, according to his claim. The territory from Ira, on the rim of the Arnon Gorge, and from the town in the middle of the gorge, and the whole plateau, past Medeba to Heshbon, and all its towns on the plateau, including Dabon, Daymon, Daot, Bethbel, Neon, Gehaz, Kedaroth, Mapheth, Kirat, Ephraim, Demba, Yerod, Shahar, on the hill in the valley, Beth Peor, the slopes of Pisgah, and Beth Jeshimon, all the towns of the plateau and the entire realm of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who ruled at Heshbon. Moses had defeated him, and the Midianite chief, Evi, Rakim, Zor, Hur, and Reba, princess allied with Sirhan, who lived in the country. In addition to those slain in battle, the Israelites had put to the sword Balaam, son of Beor, who practiced divination. The boundary of the Reubenites was the bank of the Jordan. These towns and their villages were the inheritance of the Reubenites, according to their claim. This is what Moses had given to the tribe of Gad, according to its claim. And I want to say, whoever's praying for me, thank you. The territory of Jabezer, all the towns of Gilead and half of the Ammonite country, as far as Arir, near Rabbah, and from Hashbon to Ramoth, Mizpah, and Bethanon, and from Mahanaim to the territory of Debir, and in the valley, Beth-Haram, Nimrah, Sukkah, and Zaphon, with the rest of the realm of Sihon, king of Hashbon, the east side of the Jordan, the territory up to the end of the Sea of Galilee. These towns and their villages were the inheritance of the Gibeonites, according to their claim. This is what Moses had given to the half-tribe of Manasseh. This is the half, the family of the descendants of Manasseh, according to its claim. The territory extended from Mahanaim and included all of Bashan, the entire realm of Or, king of Bashan, all the settlements of Jair in Bashan, 60 towns, half of Gilead, Ashtaroth, Adad, the royal cities of Og and Bashan. This was for the descendants of Makar, son of Manasseh, for half of the sons of Makar, according to the claim. This is the inheritance Moses had given them. He was in the plains of Moab across the Jordan, east of Jericho. But to the tribe of Levi, Moses had given no inheritance. The Lord, the God of Israel, is their inheritance, as he promised them. Chapter 14. Jordan, the division of the land west of the Jordan. Now these are the areas of Israel, of the Israelites, received as an inheritance in the land of Canaan, with Ezra the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the heads of the tribal clans of allotted to them. Their inheritance were assigned by lot to the 9.5 tribes, as the Lord had commanded through Moses. Moses had granted the 2.5 tribes their inheritance east of the Jordan, but had not granted the Levites an inheritance among the rest. But Joseph's descendants had become two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. The Levites received no share of the land, but only towns to live in, with pasture lands for their flocks and herds. So the Israelites divided the land, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Caleb's inheritance of Hebron. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my conviction. Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive out them. I will drive them out just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites in the land had left no more. Caleb and Joshua, the two who stood against the ten. The two that said, they rent their clothes, almost got stoned for believing that God could bring them through. Today, we have to ask ourselves, are we too believing in God and as hearers of his word? Are we too following the crowd? Joshua and Caleb followed God because they believed that what the Lord said he will do, he will do it. And I can say what the Lord says he will do, he will do it. We are blessed beyond measure to be children of the Most High God. We are blessed beyond measure to know that whatever God says he will do, he will do it. And so we're going to go back for the Old Testament. We do Proverbs, Psalms and Proverbs will hit our life lessons. And then we'll go forth into our Old Testament work. 44th Psalm, verses 20 through 26. If we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a foreign God, but it says, thou shalt have no other God before me. Would not God search this out? But he knows the secrets of the heart. Yet for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake! Why do you sleep, O Lord? Arise! Do not cast us off forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our afflictions and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our body clings to the ground. Arise for our help and redeem us for your mercy's sake. And whenever I read this psalm, I wonder if our ancestors, and I'm talking those that have ancestry from slavery, if our ancestors who were enslaved in this America, 1865, did they cry this way? Did they ask God to awake? Did they ask God to help? Because their soul was bowed down to the dust. And their body clung to the ground. Did they cry out, arise for our help and redeem us for your mercy's sake? I believe they did. Because God freed them. We would not be here today had God not heard the prayers of our ancestors. We would not be in freedom today had God not heard the prayers of our ancestors. we can never stop praying and believing that whatever we ask of God, as long as we're not praying amiss, God will do it. He freed our ankle. Blessed beyond measure to believe and trust God. Proverbs 14:3, it says this, in the mouth of a fool is a lie to pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. We know every day, all you have to do is turn on the news, and there's some foolish person speaking a whole lot of nothing. And all you have to do is continue to pray. Lord, let folks see the destructive nature of what whomever they may be is saying, if it's not of God. Fools talk and say foolish things. You pray for them and keep it moving, but you don't listen to the rhetoric. God is in charge of everything, and I can tell you this, God sees every man's heart. God sees who's honest and who I deceitful liar. God sees all that. He knows who you are. He knows your name. We got to be honest, and we got to speak truth because God wants it. And as we go into some life lessons from our Old Testament word, the first is coming out of Joshua 13:1. Now Joshua was old, advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, whew, the years, and these remain very much land, and there remains very much land to yet be possessed. And I love what Dr. Stanley says. He says, we may sometimes try to paint God in sentimental hue, but he remains a forthright, honest, and unsentimental as always. He tells us the truth, not to hurt us, but to ground us in reality. God will not play. He will tell you when you wake up and you say, oh, Lord, he said, I told you what to do. You chose not to listen. You got to do some praying, child. There are some spirits that are lingering, and you got to get them out of your house. You know, God is telling you there's some spirits lingering. You got to get them out. You got to open that door, pray over your house, and tell those awful spirits, you got to go. Spirit of destruction, confusion, lies, deceit, whatever it may be, you got to go. You are not welcome here. We got to learn how to call it out. You know, as we get in our word today, you will understand what I'm talking about. Folks, they clean everything out, house spotless, everything in its proper place, things looking good, and all of a sudden, it's like a hurricane came through your home, and it's like a spiritual hurricane. Everything can still be in place, but it's just a feeling that something just don't feel right. And then all of a sudden, your children get disobedient. Your grandkids don't want to listen. Your house seems to be getting in disorder, and you're cleaning, and you still can't understand why it seems like you clean today, and everything that you clean is back tomorrow. You're like, what in the world is going on? And as we get to our New Testament lesson, you will understand. That was just to get you ready. In Joshua 13:22, the children of Israel also killed with the sword Balaam. And we know Balaam was a hot mess. You know, come on now. When a donkey got to talk to you, you know you a mess. And it said, Balaam spoke many positive, true, insightful, and even flattering things about God and Israel. Numbers 23:25. Yet as a soothsayer, he demonstrated his wickedness. We cannot pick and choose which commands of God we will obey. He gave us all of them. All we got to do is listen and obey and be hearers and doers of the word of God. Balaam went to give a curse and wound up giving a blessing. Not because he wanted to, but because he didn't have no choice. Beating the donkey up. Donkey wanted his son, turned around and had to talk to him, have a conversation. And it, being the angel of the Lord, had to tell him, had the donkey, not you will be dead. Even though he did eventually die, but still, that day, he was about to be killed by an angel with his hard-headed self. Money. When a prophet thinks that it's all about the money and not about the Lord, he's not on the right page. And I know there's some prophets out there talking about me now, but I'm going to say this. If I got to give you a whole bunch of money for you to give me a prophetic word from God, then I don't want your word. God will give it to me from another prophet who's just about the business. You don't have to ask for anything. God will provide for you everything. So he said in his word, he will give a prophet's reward, did he not? So why are you standing, got folks standing in line to give you money, to get a prophetic word from God? That becomes almost psychic. I'm going to give you a psychic word. All you got to do is call 1-800 psychic hotline, and I got a word for you for $100. That's what that is. That's not prophetic. That's not prophecy. That's psychic reading. Come on now. And if I offended anyone, if that shoe is working and that shoe is fitting, then wear it. Because I'm only telling you what the Lord has said to me. You know, we got to be very careful who we go to for a word from God. Because if God's got a word from you, he will send it to you. He will give it to you, and you will not be having to pay for it. I bet you want to give a prophet's reward, and God will convict you on what to give and how to give. Joshua 14:9, the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord, my God. And we're talking about Caleb. When we choose to wholly follow the Lord, we will move heaven and earth. We'll move heaven and earth if necessary to fulfill his good promises to you. Yes, he will. God is good all the time. Psalm 44:22. Yet for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep and slaughter. Paul quotes this unsettling verse in the middle of the passage extolling God's love in Romans 8:36. Why? Because he wanted us to know that even in the worst of circumstances, God's love for us remains unchanged. Even through 400 years of enslavement, God's love was still with our ancestors. God has never forgotten his children. God has never forgotten his children. We got to understand we are the sons and daughters of God, and he loves us, each and every one. Don't give up on God, because God will never, and I say it again, he will never give up on you. He loves you like that. You are special to God. If you're going through, if you're in pain, if you're sick, if you shut in, know that you are special to God, and he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will always be there with you. Your name is already in the book. Hallelujah. We got to trust the Lord today. We got to believe that his word is true. And as we go into chapter 11 of the New Testament in Luke, we will have at the end, God, if time permits, a life principle from Dr. Stanley for Luke chapter 11. So let's go to Luke chapter 11. It says this. this prayer touches my heart every day. Because when we pray, to God for everything that he provides. God is good all the time. And we must never forget that. He loves us so much. And he wants the best for us. Hallelujah. And I'm looking at differences. I want to make sure that why I went to NIV is I want to show you the difference between the New Testament, which is New King James and King James are pretty much very similar, except for one, they have an old English word, and New King James has a modern English word. But this is a difference. Now, I'm going to read what the first part of Luke 11 says, verses 1 through 4. Actually, 1 through 9. And then I'm going to read 1 through 9 in my New King James. And it says this: one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him in midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread.'" But I'm not going to go there. I'm going to just go to the Father's prayer. And then, again, this is what NIV is saying. When you pray, "Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation." Now, if that's all you sin, and you hear people doing the Lord's Prayer in church, and you're like, "That's not what my Bible says." But then when you go to King James and New King James, and you hear this: "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples.' So he said to them, 'When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. Give us day by day.'" This is what it says. "Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. But we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Now, when you go to NIV, it does not say deliver us from the evil one, does it? It just says to lead us not into temptation. We need to be delivered from the evil one, too. That's probably the most important line. And then when we go back to Matthew chapter 6, go back with me to Matthew chapter 6. And I know in our, if you're looking in our Bible that we use, is way, way back there. Almost at, it was at the beginning of the year that we were in Matthew chapter 6. And when we go to Matthew chapter 6, and we learn the Father's Prayer there, it says this: "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." But when you look at it in Luke, it takes death. And it says, "Forgive us our sins And that was what the debt is, the debt of sin, as we forgive those that have sinned against us. And so when we understand that, we understand that we got to forgive in order for us to be forgiven by God. And it says, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, which means we forgive the debt of sin. And do not lead us into temptation. And that's what they said in Matthew. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And it goes on to say, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So understand, when you read the word of God, you're going to come into different chapters where the word is going to be a little bit different. But when you go to a whole new Bible, understand that whatever you may be reading may not be in alignment with what is in King James, New King James. And that's why you go to different Bibles and you look. Because one may have something that you need to see. But your basic Bible should be, and I might be sounding like a theologian, but I believe that everybody should have King James or New King James or both in the biblical arsenal. Because those are your foundation. New King James is only King James with a new language. But pretty much the verbiage is the same. If you're reading King James and New King James, you can follow along really, really well. But when you start going to other Bibles, understand, you might get something different. And that's why you should always have more than one Bible that you can go and study from. Because then you see a bigger picture. Because even in the Christian Standard, and it says the same thing as NIV, Father, your name be honored as holy. It's a wholly different thing. Your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not bring us into temptation. But then where's the evil one in there? Where is that evil one asking for protection? But deliver us from the evil one. That needs to be in there. Where is thou as the kingdom? Where is all of those things? We need to make sure when we read and study that we study the whole thing. Let's keep it moving. And I've gone back to King James. And it says this, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. Okay, as we go before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. Children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We got to ask for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come in this place. And he was casting out demons, and it was the mute. So it was when the demon had gone out that the mute and the multitude marveled. But some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Others testing him sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his own prowess, his goods are antique. But when a stranger, a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divided his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through a dry place. And this is that word I was talking about. We wonder what we're going through. We might have got a spirit out, opened the door, shouted out, kicked it out, oiled the place up, but you might have missed a spot. And it says, and when an unclean spirit goes out of man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return to my house. The spirit starts to claim your house. And I'm talking your spiritual house. And it could be your physical house, but I believe Jesus is talking the spiritual, physical house that we live in, calling our body. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Sometimes we look at folks and we say, poor thing got mental illness. No, he may be having some spirits that have left and brought back seven more. We all know Mary Magdalene had seven demons in her that Jesus cast out. We got to pray, Lord, cast out any spirits trying to cling to me. Cast them out and send them back to the pits of hell, never to return. If they are in your house, you got to start saying, y'all ain't got to go, but you got to get them out of here, and you better not return. For this is our house of God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you got to start speaking to them spirits, because they will come and try to take over. We got to learn how to speak the word of God. And this is what Jesus said, and it happened. As he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said, and blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word. That is our word for this morning. We can't be just hearers of the word. We got to be doers of the word. Blessings come from hearing and obeying God's word. That's our title for this morning, and it comes out of Luke chapter 11, verse 28. And Dr. Stanley, for this life lesson, says, God always promises to bless joyful obedience. We delight God's heart when we choose to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to do what he commands us to do. Hallelujah. Are you obeying God today? Are you listening to his word today? Are you doing what thus says the Lord today? Choose God today. And these are some life principles as we get ready to wrap up this morning. And the first it says this, obeying God in small matters is an essential step to God's greatest blessings. That's number one. Number two, our obedience always benefits others. Number three, when we obey God, we will never be disappointed. So again, obedience always brings blessings. And this is what it says one more time. The first blessing, the first thing you got to do, obeying God in small manners, is an essential step in God's greatest blessing. Suppose Peter said, look, I'm busy cleaning my nets right now. I can't help you because I'm going fishing again tonight. Or he could have said, why don't you ask to use that other boat over there. I've already been fishing today. It would be a waste of time to go again. If Peter had said anything other than, yes, he would have no fishing experience of his life. And we know that Jesus took him into the deep, threw those, cast those nets, and had more fish that he had to call more boats. But because Peter's obedience, the Lord arranged a miracle that he would never forget. Oftentimes, God's greatest blessings come as a result of our willingness to do something that appears very insignificant. So ask yourself, has God been challenging me to do something seemingly unimportant that I have not yet made an effort to accomplish? Is there anything I have rationalized by saying it's too difficult? I don't want to. I have to pray about it first. Y'all know that pray about it first sometimes is a way of saying, I don't want to do it. Number two, our obedience always benefits others. Think of how many people were blessed by Peter's obedience. Not only could the crowd see the Lord and hear his lesson, but Jesus himself also benefited. Preaching from the boat enabled him to sit down in comfort while he spoke. Then of Peter, friends had a very profitable day. They took in two vessels so full of fish that both began to sink. More importantly, they had the opportunity to witness something supernatural. God often rewards others, in particular those closest to us, as a result. Come on now. Oh, Jesus, of our obedience. For example, no father can obey God without a blessing poured into the lives of his wife and children. Likewise, a child's obedience will bless his or her parents. When we obey God, number three, we will never be disappointed. Peter no doubt assumed that Jesus' fishing instructions would amount to a waste of time. But when he complied with the Lord's simple request, the Lord brought about a miracle that gripped him with amazement. Jesus turned an empty boat into a full one. We, like Peter, must realize that obeying God is always the wisest course of action. He can also take our emptiness, whether related to finances, relationships, or career, and change it into something splendid. He took my grief and made a ministry. I know what God can do. Perhaps you hesitate to obey because you fear the consequences. Remember that the same omnipotent God who keeps your heart beating, the planet orbited, is more than able to handle the results of your obedience. I don't mean that to obey will necessarily result in outcome you desire. In fact, an intervening trial could well precede a blessing. But even when our expectations do not line up with God's purposes, he always never ends up disappointing us. On the contrary, however, he chooses to bless all beings, always proves more satisfying in the end. And again, whew, hallelujah, your blessings come from obeying God. Blessings come not from just obeying, but hearing and obeying God's word. Thanking God this morning for his word. Before we get out our daily prayer, thank God for this new 365 days of prayer, because I hope it's blessing you, because it surely blesses me every time we read a word that comes out of the blessing. And this is what it says for today. Real future. From James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. Come now, you will say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a town and spend a year there doing business and making money. Yet you do not even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord, and this is wishes, but we say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. If it's the Lord's will, you know, not wishes, we do the will of God. So I don't know who wrote this prayer, but I say this, or who wrote this scripture, because it's the NRSV. Wishes are not what we do. We believe, and we know that it is, if it's the Lord's will, and we say, God willing, every day I try to say, God willing, I will see you tomorrow. I will be with you tomorrow, because we are not promised tomorrow. It is the Lord's will if we have another day. And this is the prayer. Lord, keep all my thoughts. You know every plan that takes root in my heart. My tendency to set my hope in the goals I set may get me going, but true hope is only found in you. Lord, may I live with a loose grasp on the plans I set, knowing that whether they happen or not, you have good things in store. Thank you that my future is much brighter than any I could ever dream of, because it will belong to you and your kingdom. As I walk through this life, I pray that I will find pleasure in your goodness and does not change based on circumstances. No matter whether all my dreams come true or every plan I have falls apart, you do not change. You are better than all my desires put together. Help me to believe that to the very core of my being, have your way, God. If your plans fall, that hope of your future lies. Again, we got to be hearers of God's word, and we got to obey it. Hallelujah. Thank God this morning that he woke you up. Thank God this morning that he gave you another day. Your blessings come from hearing and obeying God's word. God is speaking to us today, and he is wanting the best for us. Keep God first in everything that you do. And as we go forth this morning, from our sister in Christ, love this word. Peace is not the absence of problems, but peace is the presence of God. Have a tranquil Tuesday, family. I'm saying it one more time as we wrap it up. Peace is not the absence of problems, but peace is the presence you are doing. And watch him work in your life. Have a blessed day, family. Thank you all for joining us this morning. And know that God is with you today. He loves you that much. I thank God for all of you. And I pray the blessings of Abraham on each and every one of you. Keeping God first is what we do. And let us continue to love the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Pray today as we depart. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a great day, family. It is a wrap. What a word. And again, blessings come from hearing and obeying God's word. Be blessed. It's a wrap.